be found, who did the champ turn to?
No police!
No. This world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
All right, welcome to Speak Out on this post-Super Bowl Monday show. Jim, should this be a national holiday? I feel like it should, even though I didn't do anything for the Super Bowl.
Just to recover, huh?
I am recovered, although I got up early. I was supposed to have an 8 o'clock interview, which is like an hour early for me.
Oh, yes.
Well, the news is due at 7, so that was kind of a rush that I was going to for Leo Biasucci. But I have a little announcement concerning Leo.
Okay.
We're doing a show on Friday with Leo.
Oh,
and now, Leo, you are held to it. So I told him, if you don't go, there's a couple of topics we really need to talk about. And if we don't go on Friday with Leo, I said, Mr. Greeley's going to kick both of our you-know-whats. So there you go.
Okay.
All right, so we'll have, that's the first announcement. The second announcement is the following Friday, we're going to have John Gillette on. From Kingman. And John's got a bill going through, and he can't really talk about anything until that Friday.
Secret. A secret bill? Wow.
No, it's not a secret bill, but what's going through will not be finalized until that Thursday. So the following day, we can break it on the air.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we'll have Mojave College on the following Friday.
Breaking news.
We don't do shows on Friday anymore, but it's just happening that way because of the legislative session. So welcome to the show, everybody. It is Monday, February 9th, 2026, and you've got an announcement Rockabilly.
Well, yes, but before Rockabilly, I must make an announcement that there was a mention in the newspaper over the weekend of a James Russell being arrested.
Wait, that wasn't you?
And I want you to know that although my partner, friends, and staff have had a great deal of fun at my expense over that wasn't me. There was another James Russell, and this one was old enough that I thought, God, it could. Why couldn't it be somebody 20 so people wouldn't think it could be me?
I say we generate some memes. Oh. DSM event staff.
Yes.
I say we generate a few memes out there.
Yeah, I think you'd find a lot of allies.
But you have another announcement concerning Rockabilly. You have passes.
Yes, we're gonna entitle you to give away some passes to Rockabilly.
Me.
Yeah, well, that's how important you are to us.
You had pronouns in the intro, he, him, and hungry, and now I'm entitled.
Yes.
That's awesome. All right. But we have a very special guest, two guests on the phone. We've got... I believe she's still marketing director, Gina Morga. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you.
Rumors of your retirement are greatly exaggerated, I take it?
That's correct. I just can't let go. I love it here.
We also have the chief operating officer, Dalton Homer, is on the line. How are you, sir?
Doing excellent. It's a pleasure to be meeting with you guys today.
Excellent. WARMC, of course, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City. Gina is the marketing director again. And we're going to talk about a few things that are new at Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, including the robotics surgical program. And is that normal now for surgeries to be robotic, or is any of this controlled by people? How does that work?
How cool that is.
Yeah, it is.
God.
No, great question. So the robotics world in the healthcare industry is relatively new. I'd say a handful of years. And so as WARMC, we're trying to jump into that 21st century, tap into that next age or era of OR operations. And so when we say robotic operations, what it is there's a giant robot with six arms that's over the patient, and the provider or surgeon, he'll be on the other side of the room, kind of like in a video game console type thing, and he'll be managing these robotic arms inside the patient. And what it really does is it's very invasive, so minimal invasive surgery. So quick recovery, great outcomes, and improves efficiency. And so this is kind of like the new age of all the new young doctors coming out. This is what they're trained on, and we want to tap into that, as this is the future of how do we take care of patients better.
God.
I'm glad I'm asleep for that.
Wow. That must be horrendously
expensive. I'm just saying.
That must be horrendously expensive equipment.
Oh, it is. It's very much a big investment, but it, again, it's our foresight of, hey, how do we become part of that 21st century mentality? And so the robot's called XI, or Da Vinci robot, and it looks crazy, like you said. It almost looks like an octopus kind of moving around, but it is amazing to watch it in live.
My gosh.
What kind of surgeries are done with that type of robot, with, you know, robotically trained surgeons and that? Do they do any type of surgery?
No, great question. Mainly it falls along the line of what we call the general surgery. So that would be anything within the gut region of your body. So a lot of that kind of stuff, hernias and so forth. There are other adaptions to the robotic program where you can get other robots that help with orthopedic surgery. So helping with bone removal or new joints. And then, of course, once you get into the world of the neuro, there's all the robots that are there. But at our hospital, all we currently have is a robot for the general surgery population.
Oh, interesting. We have a text that came in, and I'm verifying that this is for this program, and it is 928-727-5566. The caller asks, are we close to implementing artificial intelligence in this process, yes or no?
Great question, and the answer is yes. And so what happens right now, a lot of times, so there's cameras that go in there as well to help the surgeon see, and we use AI to help identify areas that have cancer, areas that need a little bit more treatment and care. So AI component on the sense of, like, helping us assist in the type of surgery, yes. We're still a ways away from AI taking over the actual robotic portion, mm-hmm. and honestly, I still want my surgeon being hands-on, but definitely AI on the IT portion.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I've known people with, the gallbladder surgery.
Yes.
And now they leave two or three little marks, and that's it. There's no large incision anymore.
Gosh.
Because you're using the robot. It's very advanced.
No, exactly. And so we're very blessed. We recently hired a new doctor. His name is Dr. Hassoun. He's been here, I want to say it's about 4 months now. A fantastic surgeon, and primarily uses a robot. And so he's part of our kind of starting this new program. And we've been recruiting two other docs. One actually was on site recently, who is also robotically trained. And so this is kind of our steps as we try to get in the 21st century, bringing in the talent to provide that quality of care we're looking for.
Now you have, you're also recruiting PCPs. What is that? Primary care physicians, internal medicine, internal medicine, geriatrics, and family medicine. Now I do the news, and there's a big story out about one of the healthcare providers right now statewide, and my PCP is with that company. So anyway, what is the internal medicine, geriatrics, and family medicine? And then you're looking for primary care also, right?
Yeah, so those different categories you mentioned, those are what we call subspecialties or specialties. So your primary care provider, right, is kind of like your neighborhood doctor who you go to for, you know, basic illnesses or follow-up care. And so within that, you have the different components, internal medicine, geriatric, and family medicine. Okay. And to your point, there is a major shortage of family or PCP providers in the community. Mm-hmm. And we're very lucky. We just hired three more this summer. And so we've expanded our opportunity to take care of patients. And that was one of the big things that we're looking at as we talk about growth, is we're looking at how busy are our current providers. And when you look at this past summer when we're looking at recruiting, our primary care providers were 30, 40 days out from a new appointment visit. And so with these new three providers, we have access that patients can get in right away, especially if they're coming, you know, after a hospital visit. So this was a huge push to how we provide the care for our community.
That's 40 days. That's a big deal, Jim, because I know if I make an appointment or if you make an appointment and you cancel or have to reschedule, oh, boy.
Yes.
That's a big mountain to climb.
Yeah.
You're not going to get within 40 days. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're so blessed to have these new medical MDs that are now 10 to 15 days out. So you can get an appointment very quickly now at Western Arizona Medical Group at warmc.com. Mm-hmm. 10 to 15 days to see an MD for your primary care, for geriatrics, for internal medicine, and family practice. 10 to 15 days.
That is just great.
Well, and just to tap into that real quick, and sorry to interrupt, one of the things that we've been emphasizing on, we just kind of rolled out these last couple months, is we've created what we call time slots for emergent patients, so same-day visits or those coming from the hospital, because we recognize people need care, and we want to give them access to it. And so with these three new providers, which have been a huge lift on that, as well as creating these time slots for those same-day appointments or emergent appointments after the hospital, we were able to get patients in, like I said, same day or a couple days after.
Wow. Hmm. Where do those physicians, is there a place on the Warmsey campus where they set up shop? How does that work?
Yeah, great question. So we have two primary locations. One of them is on the Parkway, and Gina, you'll have to remind me the name. It's right next to the Fox Creek neighborhood area. And then there is one off of 95 heading south.
Okay, interesting. Go ahead, Gina.
Okay, our offices are at Western Arizona Family Practice, and I'm pulling up the address right now. One is across Toronto in Fort Mojave, and the other is at on the Parkway. There's only one set of doctor's offices on the Parkway. I'm getting you the address right now.
Okay. Well, while she's looking for that, Dalton, and again, we're talking to Dalton Homer, the Chief Operating Officer and Marketing Director, Gina Morga. And there's a new CEO at Warmsey as well. You've been there, though, haven't you, Dalton?
Yeah, so I actually just hit my 8th month mark. So
nice.
Actually relatively new. I moved in June. And I'll be honest, it was a little toasty when I got here in June. It was hitting that 120 mark. It was humbling, let's say the least. But yeah, so Dave, our new CEO, he started in September. He actually is from the area, so super excited to have him here. And he's been awesome to work with. His vision about how we approach the future and the big focus is what services does our community need and how do we provide it, right? And so really emphasizing quality of care and patient satisfaction.
So, Jim, I have a funny story about summer.
Yes.
There was a pastor that was here. It was around July, and we're out there on the landing right outside the office. It's outdoors, and it's July, and it's probably 120 out.
Uh-huh.
Right? And he goes, man, it's hot as hell out here. And I looked at the pastor, and I said, I wouldn't know. But anyway, where did you come from that you got to experience our heat?
So originally I'm from New York, just outside of Manhattan. But you know, it's funny. The last few years, I actually was living down in Tucson, Arizona. But it's amazing because seriously, it's about a 15 degree difference like year round. And so, you know, we'd get to 105, 110. It'd be a little toasty, but man, when you break 110, it's toasty.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes, yes.
That's
we
all.
Do have the heat. Hey, if we didn't have that heat, this would just be a suburb of L.A.
I'm from the Rick D'Amico School of weather forecasting. He was on Channel 10 for so long, you know, and now he's retired. But it doesn't get hot until it's 110.
Uh-huh.
and then it's pretty toasty or very hot around 118. So that's how you know my weather, if it's hot. But let's talk about the vision for Warmsey and the recruitment of those highly educated directors that are in that vision. What directors are you looking for?
No, great question. So one of the things I want to kind of highlight and give kudos, so since I've gotten here, when I first arrived, there were several openings in directorship positions and just physician openings as well. And so in strategic working with the team, and then as Dave got on, we've been able to hire 6 new directors. And one of the ones I want to highlight is we recently hired a new radiology director. And he's coming from Reno, Nevada, with about just over 2 decades of experience in the radiology world, which is awesome because recently I'm in the middle of construction for a brand new MRI magnet, right? And so when you think about this, we'll have the newest magnet in Mojave County, which is huge. This is definitely adding on the AI component. But what it's going to do is it's going to provide a higher quality image and expand the services we can do because our focus is how do we keep patients or the community members here. We don't want to send you guys to Vegas or Phoenix. We want to keep you where your families are, your resources are. And so our big focus is what do we need to do that? And so one of them is this new radiology director.
Very good. My gosh. The you're able to serve patients from Havasu and everything with all of this great growth that you have? Is that
That's the plan. We have a program called what we call the Transfer Center. And we partner with all the local hospitals that if there is something that they don't have the skill set or capability for, we have agreements for them to transfer to us. And over the last 6 months, we've seen about a 45% increase in transfers from other hospitals just due to the type of services we're providing and things that we're expanding.
And previously, those would have been transfers to Vegas or Phoenix, I assume?
Correct. And that's our big focus is how do we take care of patients? How do we keep them home?
Yeah. Wonderful.
So what other communities besides Bullhead City? You have Bullhead City, Fort Mojave, Laughlin. Is it the surrounding communities, or do you get patients from Havasu and Kingman as well?
Yeah, we routinely get patients from Havasu and Kingman. I would pretty much say, you can say, like, what is the tri-state or really the Fort Mojave or the county in total is kind of where our patient population is. And so we're constantly looking at how do we expand our service lines, what do those patients need. And a lot of times it's these simple ones like, hey, a new MRI magnet that can provide better cardiac imaging for our more elderly population, especially all these snowbirds that I'm learning all about, and then all those AI components.
Right. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and I'll ask you guys to hold on the line. And when we come back, for some reason my music's not coming up there yet. That's interesting. Anyway, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Dalton Homer, the Chief Operating Officer for Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. And Gina Morga is with us as well. She's the Marketing Director. If you have a question, a concern, or just want to say hi, send us a text. We're operating off the text line right now, 928-727-5566.
And that's how high-tech we are.
Yes, exactly. Back with more in a moment. 928-727-5566. Speak out. We'll return. Stay with us.
Won't you stay a little while? Keep me safe. There's monsters right outside. Daddy, please don't go. I don't want to be alone.
All right, there's a little Luke Combs for the veterans out there and those serving in our armed forces. And thank you for your service, everyone who is listening, and those families that are part of that sacrifice as well. Right, Jim?
Yes, indeed.
Speak Out brought to you in part by City Maytag, the sponsor of City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. That's where we broadcast from, Jim.
Yes, indeed.
We with have our a sink, mini, but it's not a real sink.
Yeah, our toy sink.
Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. By Mojave Electric Cooperative. Also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet. By Salmon's Air Conditioning. Blonzy Steakhouse, North London Bridge Road, and of course, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. And speaking of, we're back with Dalton Homer, who's the Chief Operating Officer, and we've also got Gina Morga on the line. And there's partnerships with the police and fire departments in Bullhead City for AED, or what does the AED stand for? I can't ever remember. It's the defibrillator. I know the D part. So it's emergency defibrillator, is that right?
It's an automated external defibrillator.
Hey, one out of three. I got part of it. I got part of the acronym. Good job, Gina. So tell us about those partnerships before we go into a really good story.
Great. I just wanted to mention for a moment our Senior Circle program, which is a health education program for local seniors. And one of the things that's Heart Month, so one of the things that we do very well here is our Heart Center. And we're very proud of the number of cases that last year we touched more than 1,500 hearts to heal. So that is a deal. And so we've been out in the community doing some CPR training with seniors. But we also help the fire department and the police department with their CPR training and their AED training, because we help them put AEDs in all the police cruisers around town. All police vehicles now have an automated external defibrillator. And Dalton has a great story that just happened last week.
Ooh.
Now, I'll tap into that, and I appreciate that segue. So as was mentioned, we love our first responders, and we cannot, you know, do enough for them. And so as Gina mentioned, we try to do education, provide equipment for them. Well, that way, because they're the ones who are taking care of our patients and our family members and friends first. And so, you know, we just had a very awesome example and story I want to share with you guys that happened last week. And I'll exclude the names just for their privacy. But we had recently just done a major training for the police officers on how to use these AEDs, and then we equipped their vehicles. Well, the very next day, one of the new officers that was part of the team, he was in the community and came across a patient or a individual who needed assistance, who had having cardiac issues. And so he was able to use his brand new training and equipment to take care of that patient, which, thank goodness, they were able to take care of him. And then we got them to the hospital, and then within 48 hours, that patient was discharged and healthy. And so it's just an amazing opportunity when we see firsthand experience save lives and make a difference to our community members.
God, what great service.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, I have one last question, which comes from our text line, and that's 928-727-5566. And on deck, literally, he was a baseball player, by the way, Sean Buckley, the Go Lake Havasu CEO. Does the robot surgery process affect insurance costs? Could it lower overall medical costs or not?
That is honestly a really great question, and I'll highlight two things real quick. So I have a master's in healthcare administration or operations, and one of the classes I took, or a couple of them, were on healthcare insurance. And I'll be honest, even after taking on master-level classes, healthcare insurance is so complicated and confusing. And so to answer your question, the idea is yes, it is supposed to help things make more efficient, cost less. Now, robotic OR surgery is a relatively new thing, and so we'll get to see as time goes on if it really does make that impact, but our hope is that it will.
Okay. It's a good answer.
Yeah.
Good question, good answer.
One thing that it does help is it reduces infection, or it can help keep some of the complications down of surgery. So
yeah, and recovery time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes, especially with those smaller incisions.
Wonderful! What a great technology. Great to have it added to the community.
Yeah, in Bullhead City, no less. That's fantastic. Anyway, I'd like to thank our guests for being on this maiden voyage with Speak Out. I know you've been with Speak Out 2.0 for a while, but Dalton, Homer, thank you so much. The Chief Operating Officer at Wormsea, and Gina Morgan, Marketing Director. Did you guys have any questions for us?
No, just appreciate you guys giving us a chance to kind of share how much we love the community and what we're doing to make it better.
Sure. And is there anything else that you wanted to talk about that we didn't cover?
The only item I wanted to share is we recently introduced a new initiative called the Open Door Initiative. And what it is we're trying to expand our hours of operation so that patients who, you know, work during the day or aren't available can come after hours during the week and on the weekend to be taken care of. And so we now, starting last week, we are open for outpatient services. That would be your x-rays, CTs, labs, and so forth, up till 7 p.m. every single day, 7 days a week, and then anything after will be based on availability of services. But we really are striving to just open the door. How do we take care of patients as efficiently and easy as possible?
All right. Perfect. Well, thank you for being on. We appreciate it. And we'll see you next month. You guys are scheduled for the first or second Monday. I think it's the second Monday of the month. So.
They're going to have to go out and find new machinery to buy to talk about.
That's right. Let's hope not. It sounds like the MRI is very advanced, though, especially if it's the best in Mojave County. That's something right there.
It is a very large investment. The magnet itself is about $1.2 million.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of MRIs. All right. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful day.
You bet. You too. And coming up, he wants to shake my hand. Thank goodness it's on the board right now running the channel, right? Because he breaks hands. He's like Chief Palafis.
Right.
He's got that hearty handshake. That's Sean Buckley just joins us from Go Lake Havasu. How are you, sir?
Afternoon, gentlemen. I'm doing quite well.
He's always Mr. Positive, you know?
Yes.
They have one of those.
When you're dragging around that kind of handshake, you have nothing but smiles.
They have one of those now on the Westwood One radio network, the new sports network that we carry. They have a guy who calls in every night named Mr. Positive.
Nice. Nice. Oh, there's a future for me.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back on Speak Out in a moment. Sean Buckley's going to join us. And, again, he's CEO at Go Lake Havasu. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about. There was something in the news about you recently.
There's a couple things, but there's an awful lot on the horizon. I think Jim and I are going to get excited here in a minute. Yeah, we've got plenty to cover.
24-hour news cycles, though. You know how they are, right?
Yep.
They're 24 hours. So I forget.
I can't remember which one expired last. I know. You're right.
All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back. If you have a question, a call, a concern, give us a call. Phone line is open, 928-854-KNTR, 854-5687. And I guarantee you, the bumper music will probably change, right? So we'll be right back. Not what I wanted to play, but I'm okay with it. Black Eyes by Bradley Cooper. Yes, the movie actor Bradley Cooper.
That's right. Hmm. What was the movie he was in? He was a performer. I can see
Stars Born.
Stars Born. That's right. That's right.
With Lady Gaga.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of my favorites.
Is
it? Lady Gaga, you know, I know she turns our audience off. I get that. But as a performer, holy cow,
you can split that hair. There's a lot of good performers that maybe don't belong in the public eye. I just, you know.
There's people that do Over the Rainbow by Judy Garland that I just laugh at them. She does it, I cry.
Yeah.
It's just, wow.
Absolutely.
Plus, my mother's favorite song.
Nice.
So one of them.
Yeah. Good touch.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. You got to show your sensitive side, Sean, you know?
You have to embrace that masculinity, and some of it's not so rough, you know?
Embrace the masculinity. I don't think that's masculine, is it?
Well, it's not toxic. I'll stay in that lane.
It's not toxic. Did you catch the halftime show?
I did.
And which one did you catch?
I did. You know what? I actually stomached the Bad Bunny. I wanted to take a look at this just to kind of see what I was seeing.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm going to give it this credence. I didn't see a whole lot of Satanism. And right now, I'm seeing an awful lot of that during some big performances that are just dark, and it wasn't that. Past that, I don't know what to make.
Yeah. What a spectacular
production. The power lines?
Good heaven.
What the heck?
The props.
That's hard to pull off.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
That's hard to pull off.
Did okay. I might argue that to be one of the highlights of the game.
I'll admit, I was kind of snoozing a little bit, and then I woke up for the halftime show, and I couldn't find the other one, the Turning Point USA one.
I didn't even look, but I heard that they canceled that, and I don't know if there was any truth to it or if it actually happened.
Think some of the
it was part of the tour, the Kid Rock tour.
Yeah.
A lot of that in one city got canceled in South Carolina.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So anyway, Speak Out brought to you in part by AMB Propane, abpropaneaz.com, also Springberg Wealth Management, The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, samsguns.com, new owner, by the way, also Solar Power by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care.
What? Sam doesn't own Sam's Guns?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, in fact, they're going to change the name pretty soon.
That probably would be appropriate.
It could be, any day now.
Is it going to be the new owner's name? Do we know?
No, it's... man, you would ask me that.
Okay.
Put me on the spot.
We'll come back to you. That
if
was
anyone's
a tough
listening,
question.
Text in the new name. It's something... it's not Emporium. I can't remember. Okay. Anyway, Sean Buckley's here. I almost said Sean Barker because I'm interviewing a Sean Barker later this week.
Really?
Yeah, it's the Man in Black, the Johnny Cash tribute.
As part of Rockabilly? Is he one of the...
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he's actually at the Riverside this year. He was at Harrah's last year.
Oh.
And I think we're either going to... air the interview here or on KJJJ.
Ah, cool.
Sure.
Yeah,
so
fun.
Yeah, he operates out of Branson, Missouri.
Oh,
the guy's
okay.
Really, really good. In fact, Johnny's band endorses this guy.
He's a resident in
Branson.
In Branson,
yeah,
is that right?
From what I understand.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But no, we're talking to Sean Buckley.
Yes, we are.
From Lake Havasu.
Or at least he's speaking. I can attest to that.
So I need to clear a couple things up with this fair. There was a Lake Havasu City Fair, and I'm in silent witness on the board.
Yeah.
And we were at that fair.
Sure.
Is this an event that's happened in the past? I know you're new to Havasu.
Yeah.
I understand it. Maybe it was an event in the past that went away, and they want to bring it back.
That's going to be my best guess. That's about all I've heard, and I don't know if that's true.
I know Go Lake Havasu. It was on the website, so that's all I know about it.
And that was just kind of a promotional understanding, I guess, if you will, because we didn't sponsor this. This is a new event. I hadn't participated. I don't know that it even happened last year, so no firsthand knowledge of this one.
I think it was inaugural.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It was.
But Matt Ferris was there. There was some pretty good entertainment there.
Good.
It'll be reorganized a little bit next year, but the turnout wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that, but and it was a beautiful day.
It was a great weekend. What a gorgeous weekend.
My gosh.
Anytime you host an event on Super Bowl Sunday or that weekend, you're going to have some challenges, you know.
Yeah.
So just superficially looking at that, but I think it's a nice attraction. I think it fell in the right time of season. It's a cool thing.
Well, I'll tell you what, Stubby's was there.
Yeah.
And they had this macaroni and cheese with brisket.
Oh,
holy. Folks, if you haven't tried it, take another person with you, because it's a nice helping. I'll tell you that.
You tell this to us at 12:30.
They should be right across the street. They're usually over there right in front of 10-day doors.
Smart.
Yes, Stubby's is awesome. And they sponsor our Eat, Drink, Smoke show on Saturdays. So,
well, and if I can just carry on a little bit, I'll give you a heads up of where we've been. Because a lot of our work you guys see, and we talk a lot about the website, and we talk about social media, and we talk about the events and our partnerships there. Some of our work is equally as important, and it happens in a silo almost. I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't seeing what we're seeing. So I'll give you a couple examples.
Wait, in a silo?
In a silo. In the sense that it's not like public facing, you know?
Gotcha.
So the first example I'll give you was IMM, which is the International Media Marketplace. And that was 2 weeks ago in New York City, which I attended with our PR agency. And so we had a designated Arizona section. And we're in the same conversation with Sedona and Flagstaff and Scottsdale and the Arizona office and Chandler and a couple other destinations. But it was fantastic. We had about 70 appointments over a two-day span. And it's like a speed dating foreign policy. You get 15 minutes with everybody.
Been there. And I've done those. Those are fun.
It was amazing just to be part of this for the first time for Lake Havasu and see what the appetite is out there. Mm. I mean, this is all the Kingpin Travel Writers. Our third appointment on the first day was with USA Today. So, I mean, we're playing at that echelon.
That's a cool breakout session.
It was
those
killer.
Are fun.
It was fantastic. So that was me 2 weeks ago. Last week, my PR manager, Tanya, was in Canada. She was working with the Arizona Office of Tourism on a Canadian media mission. They started off in Toronto, and then they finished up their trip in Vancouver, trying to bring some awareness to Canada. Arizona is wide open, introduce Lake Havasu as kind of a unique product within that, guys. And we had a lot of immediate success from their local newspapers and some of their media outlets and getting some exposure there. So a lot of this is what we do behind the scenes in recurrent fashion over the course of the year that a lot of people don't realize are going on back there.
Yeah, that's
and a lot of this leads to some big business, a lot of big exposure, a lot of good attention on the destination. I guess the next one would be the Go West Summit coming up at the end of March in Las Vegas, when we get to go tout the destination in front of all the group tour operators, the receptives, the domestic bus companies, the FIT travelers. I mean, everybody with a stronger dollar than we have right now.
That's got to be fun to see what LVCVA is doing, right? Las Vegas Convention Visitors Authority. Those guys have been doing it for a long time.
It is, and they're playing in a they've got some interesting challenges at a mass scale. Right now, the convention center is under renovation. You know what I mean? So all of that's deferring to other properties. The Sands capturing a lot of that.
Oh, really?
You've got the Venetian and Caesars capturing a lot of that big group. Mm-hmm. I think they still, I might misspeak here, but they might still host, you know, some of the larger ones that can't hold that space, like CES, things like that. But they're really trying to pivot with some of their infrastructure as well as their demand right now. It's a very unique challenge, but on a very macro scale.
I've got a picture of that property. I'm going to have to bring it in. It's the 75 Running Rebels, right?
Yeah.
That first team that made it to the Final Four from UNLV.
Yeah, yeah.
The Reggie Theus running Rebels.
Oh, right? Wow, yeah.
And it's in front of the convention center, but there's a rotunda. That's where they used to play.
Really?
Yes. It's like 85, maybe 10,000 seats. It's before the Thomas and Mack.
Yep.
But I have a picture of that team. Yeah, it says best in the West, running Rebels. They still have scoring records, and they didn't even have the three-point line back in the day.
That is awesome.
It
that
is.
That would be a neat
it
photo.
Is. Yeah. Glenn Gondrzyk's in that, too.
Is that right?
He played for the New York Knicks.
This is all pre-Tarkanian and all that.
No, this is Tark's team right after he came in from Long Beach State.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty cool. That's a pretty cool photo.
What a legacy
and
there, yeah.
Black and white.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yep. So right in front of the Vegas Convention Center.
Right.
Just,
right.
Man, what a story.
But you guys got have events coming up. You have two simultaneously,
yes,
pretty
do.
Much, right?
Yeah, absolutely simultaneously.
Rockabilly and WPA.
Yes. Yes. Winter Blast. Both this coming weekend.
Right.
Both ends of town covered.
So, Sean, what do you think rockabilly means? It seems like it's really established its roots here in Havasu, some roots anyway. What does that mean when you have an event like that? Does that make it easy to promote?
Yeah, it's a great product for us to sell because there's really nothing else quite like it. You know, I mean, there are some different folk festivals, Americana festivals. I mean, they get outside of the rock genre a little bit, but for the pageantry and the promotion involved with this particular festival is so very unique and just so one of a kind and so distinctly Havasu. I mean, it's really something that we're proud to take some ownership and
yes,
work
indeed.
With DSM and promote. And, you know, these are the stories that we're telling to the international media and to the Canadian media and some of the stuff that we've been touting over the past couple of weeks, as well as the pyrotechnics. We've got a very busy weekend from our end just in the promotion of those events, but you'll also see us having our booth in Phoenix. Phoenix is hosting the International Travel and Adventure Show. So this is a circuit. When I was in New York, they were just setting up when we were leaving, and this is a consumer show. So anybody looking for travel destinations, looking for interesting events that are happening, looking for unique destinations and experience, we can sell them right there in Phoenix, which is a great market for us.
Sean, how do you get to measure the successes from such a function as that?
Each one's different. So that's a great question because it's kind of a new initiative. We introduced it at Winterfest. For the first time, we can kind of expand our visitor center into our physical footprint, you know. So we're capturing sales and we're selling products and we're branding Go Lake Havasu and getting the brand out there. Excuse me. We'll do the same thing in Phoenix. So we'll be able to measure booth attendance, you know, and essentially kind of cross-reference that with gross receipts. Those are consumer-facing platforms.
What is it called?
Geofencing.
Geofencing.
Now, geofencing generally wouldn't apply to that. Because our measure is going to be more tangible in those scenarios. When we go to Rockabilly, if we're trying to measure our collective efforts there, we'll geofence Rockabilly. We'll have a very good idea of where people are coming in and out of.
Jim, you know what that is, right?
We do it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're pretty versed.
Explain, like, give me the elevator speech on geofencing.
Well, essentially, Big Brother can tell where you're coming into the event from. Let's just paraphrase it that big.
Right.
It's a satellite service that can identify you via GPS where you originated and where your device, your personal device located and where, you know, how that corresponded to that event or that feature or whatever. So we'll be able to tell how many people from Georgia ended up at Rockabilly, theoretically.
It is absolutely remarkable. You literally draw a line on Google Maps as to where the fence, this imaginary electronic fence occurs.
Yep.
Like
wild.
In the street party, you know, we come down McCullough, we go into Bird Square, we go into the Commons and all of that. And then this Big Brother system registers all of the smartphones, when they came in, where they came from, where they're registered to, and on top of that, how long they stay and where they go when they leave. It is astounding.
So, Sean, we're going to have a future announcement about the street party. It involves one of the people in this room, by the way.
Is that right? hang on, let me guess, guys.
Two of the people in this room.
Two? It's a form of entertainment, along with a couple of other things going on.
Yes.
Anyway, so what was I going to ask you? It had to do with Rockabilly and then WPA and that, but Oh, I know what it was. Mm-hmm. You were talking about travel.
Yeah.
Is travel changing now post-pandemic? Is there less focus on cruise and more focus on, say, air travel? Or I would think our big draw would be ground, right?
It
would be driving. 100%. And now I was thinking, you know, automobile. I just bought a new car, and the stuff that's in that car, why would I want to travel any other way?
Exactly.
No, and every, I mean, it even has lane centering for crying out loud.
So driver assist, all that fun stuff.
Is that really taking over the travel industry, the automobile?
I don't know if it's taking over, but it's certainly an area that we're leaning into because that's all we can facilitate here. If you don't have a private plane, we've got to lean on your ground travel. So our objective is two-front, Paul. The one biggest thing that's really standing out in behavioral attribution and travel patterns specific to Lake Havasu City is the booking window. Okay, you look a year, 2 years ago, and folks are planning 3 months out, two months out. Right now, we're in that 30 days and less type of window.
Okay.
That's really interesting. Now, that's very indicative of a vehicle traveler. They're coming here, they're booking that day.
Sure.
Okay, so that supports that. Also, with where we are geographically, and all of our messaging is really centered around our domestic and international access points. L.A., Vegas, Phoenix, all of which are going to require some ground transportation to get here. So it's kind of advantageous. I kind of see this more car-friendly, vehicle-friendly type of travel being to our benefit.
And you don't have to wear a mask in your car, by the way, folks.
You'd be surprised how many people still are. It's unbelievable.
Holy smokes. You should hear what I'm not even going to go there. I was thinking what Joe Rogan calls the mask, right?
Yeah.
Have you heard it?
I don't know. Go for it.
The MAGA hat for Democrats. It's hilarious. I know. I went there. But anyway, post pandemic, I don't think you really answered that part of the question.
Well, that's
has there been a change in travel?
Well, there's been softer travel, and I think a lot.
What does that mean?
Well, softer influx of travelers, and you're seeing that just about everywhere. I mean, we're a little bit soft. We're about 7 points down year over year in lodging tax. Okay, Vegas is hovering in the teens somewhere. Kingman's hurting a little bit. We're seeing it just about everywhere. I mean, we're talking about some of the conferences that we're attending. Right now, guys, I think it would be best described as kind of the darker times in tourism. Let's just call it.
Really?
Everybody is struggling. Everybody's fighting for the same travel dollar that we're fighting for. Everybody's going out there with what's new, and we're going out there with, you haven't met us yet. Everything about us is brand new, and it's a real, real opportune time for us to leverage. But in addition to the consistencies that we're seeing system-wide throughout the industry, Paulie, it looks like they are tightening up their budget and they're planning with less time. Those are the biggest indicators that we're seeing right now. Now, I'll dovetail that because we've recognized that we have two very different audiences that are coming into Lake Havasu City. Our summer is not our winter guests. They're very, very different. We skew older in the winter. We get on land in the winter. Okay, so those are two very, very distinguishing identifiers. Our winter visitor has a lot more annual wealth. So they spend pretty nominally. Our summer visitor doesn't make near as much, but they spend about as much as our winter visitor.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So you got to speak to those two audiences very different.
And they're not land, they're water.
Exactly. And they're not coming from the same place. Our summer visitors are more regional. I mean, those are the weekenders that can tow something here. In the winter, they are flying here. And that's why we're seeing some success with Salt Lake City, Minneapolis, Denver, Albuquerque, some of these outliers.
So real quick, my last topic is First Friday.
Sure.
I'm doing First Friday now as part of the Silent Witness.
Nice.
It's a well attended event, and it's not just at the Commons.
That's right.
You're going up and down the street, hard to drive a vehicle down there even and get across the crosswalk. No, it's busy.
It's not a bad thing.
It's pedestrian. Yeah, it's excellent. Are you seeing more and more success because of the Commons, or has it just been that way?
You know, we're hearing the same thing. We're hearing the same thing, and it's great to be a part of that. You know, I mean, this is the PED's kind of brainchild. They're doing a fantastic job with that event management. They're doing a great job representing us. We're really happy with that partnership because it's doing exactly what it sounds like it's doing from you and every other feedback that we've heard. Is that the entertainment is strong. The vendors are strong. And the production, having that in the central point of downtown and expanding that flow to the private businesses during and after the event is exactly what it's designed to do, guys.
Yeah,
you
nice.
Know? So that is all around very positive, I think.
Nice. No word salad from that guy.
No.
He's good.
I've been speaking a lot today. Thank you.
I don't think we're going to need you on the staff this year, but the Diamondback staff's looking stronger and stronger.
Hey, I'm at the ready. Do not count out the rider that's throwing about 74 mile an hour heat.
Oh, there you
late
go.
40s, I got this.
There you go. There was a couple games last year we could have used you when they were way down or way up, and they, you know, you see a catcher come in to pitch.
That's what I mean. Leave that third string right fielder on the bench. I got you.
All right. Sean, always good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure, Paul. Appreciate being here.
I forgot to confirm him last week. Wow. And last night, he's like, yeah, I'll be there. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
No confirmation necessary. I know where they're playing Dokken once a month.
This is actually Skid Row.
We'll take some Skid.
They're looking for a lead singer.
I'm not the guy.
Another one.
No, I'm not the guy.
I don't know where Sebastian Bach is, but they're looking for a new lead singer.
He's peaks and valleys. He'll be back. You know, he just needs a break.
Probably.
That's it.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it, Paul.
All
thanks
right.
so much.
Back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot on Speak Out. That's what we played on Common Ground last week. It was all about education. This was one of the songs. All right. Coming up tomorrow, Jess Knutson, city manager. That'll be a good show.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Have for the whole hour.
Jess is always a good
almost
good
had to cut him in half, too. All right. Speaking of getting cut in half, Sean Hannity coming up next. I don't even know what that means.
Talk KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.